chapter 1, and we're going to begin with verse number 10 and read from verse 10 to verse 14 and focus our thoughts today on sacrifices of praise. Sacrifices of praise. Beginning with the 10th verse, the book of Malachi, "Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness it is, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick, thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen." Praise the Lord. Could we pray? Lord Jesus, we ask you, God, to allow your Spirit, God, to bring anointing. Lord, anointing upon our hearts and upon our minds, that we might receive that has been given to us by the Holy Ghost. God, speak through us, Lord. Lord, that we might be an oracle, O God, of your divine will and your divine purpose. God, that we might heed, Lord, your instruction, that we might hold it close to our heart. Lord, that we might treasure it and that we might perform that you have committed to our trust. We pray it, Lord, right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated today. Sacrifices of praise. Within the context of Malachi chapter 1, that let me remind you that this follows the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. They had reconvened the construction of the temple in 520 BC at the preaching of Haggai and others. And by 516 BC, the temple of God in Jerusalem had been completed. So Malachi's prophecy, because it was given about 430 BC, or some 86 years later, came at a time when lethargy and complacency had come upon the people. And they no longer felt the same enthusiasm. They no longer had the same zeal that they had felt at the dedication of the house of God. So apathy and disillusionment had set in, and it had begun to rob them of their joy and their peace. And because the many messianic prophecies of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Micah and others had not been fulfilled, they were still waiting and anticipating the fulfillment of these messianic prophecies, that many of them had begun to question and even begun to doubt the legitimacy of these words that were given from the mouth of the prophets. And so their praises and their worship did not have the same intensity. You could not feel the same sincerity or witness the same giving of praise. You cannot witness that same desire, that fervency, that burning, that something that wanted to erupt from their heart. They had become very, very much, amen, complacent in their way of thinking. They had begun to question even the very love of God. God forbid that our worship should ever become nothing but merely the going in motion, just the mere ritual, that we should just simply go through the exercise of worship without any real commitment, without any real fervency of spirit, without any real emotion, amen, that comes from a heart of desire. God forbid that our sacrifices of praise should ever be lame. We ought to be willing to give unto God the very best that we have to offer. But they have become very much lax. They have become so content in their state of mind that they have begun to even question how much God loved them and cared for them as a covenant people. Let me remind you that He loved us while we were yet in sin, while we were yet strangers from the things of God, that God loved us. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That He loved us this much. That He gave the supreme sacrifice. That He gave His very life that we might live, that we might obtain salvation. We read in the very first, the opening of the book of Malachi, and the word of the Lord says in verse 2, "I have loved you, saith the Lord, and yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. And yet you would question my love for you, if you would observe that I have never forsaken you, that I have never turned my back on you, but I have promised to restore you. I have promised to exalt the nation and to bring peace and joy to my people Israel." I want you to know God will never forsake His people. David said, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging bread." And yet they question the love of God. Sometimes we, as people in the world, that we go through trials and we have struggles in life that may cause us to wonder, why me, God? Why do I have to struggle? Why do I have to face uncertainty? Why do these calamities come upon us? And yet we have to be reminded that it rains on the just and the unjust alike. That everyone faces trials and tribulation. That everyone goes through struggle. But we also have to remind ourselves that He promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." And that He would never put more upon us than that we were able to bear, but with every temptation that He would provide a way of escape. And yet they questioned the love of God. They questioned if God really loved them, and yet God had brought them out of bondage. God had defeated their enemies. God had parted the waters of the sea. God had caused mighty nations that were greater than they to fall before them, because they were the people of God, the chosen of the Lord. They were the apple of His eye. God said to them that I have chosen you. I could have chose anyone, but I chose you. You are the apple of my eye. I have loved you, saith the Lord. And was not Esau your brother? But yet I chose you. I preferred you. And I have laid the mountains of Esau waste, that the mountains of Esau have melted before my presence and have been left unto them desolate. Amen. And I have blessed my people, and I have caused you to be blessed above all the nations of the world. And yet you've hardened your heart. Yet when I would have blessed you, you would not receive it, because that you were walking in the lust of your flesh and walking after the sight of your eyes and not according to the word of faith. And now you have begun to question my love for you and question my faithfulness to you. You have begun to even doubt whether or not that my presence dwells between the cherubim and the house of the Lord. You have questioned all of these things, and you've become complacent in your worship. And then He began to reason with them. He said unto them, "Should not a son honor his father? And should not a servant honor his master? And yet I am your father, and you have not honored me, but you have despised my altar. You have despised my name, and you brought shame, and you have brought contempt upon the house of the Lord because of your actions. Am not I your master? But yet you have not served me. You've served other gods. You've bowed down before the images of the gods of the nations and not given me the honor that was due my great name. And the priests have despised the name of the Lord by their lack of reverence, for they have offered polluted bread upon my altar. The table of shewbread was to be a very sacred place, where the priests came and they offered unto the Lord unleavened bread daily. That bread was to be a daily bread. It was not to be a day old or 2 or 3 days old, but every day they were to put fresh bread upon the altar of the Lord, and it was to be unleavened bread. But you have offered unto me polluted bread. You have not been careful to give unto me that I require of you. And so you offer polluted bread. As children of God, we need to offer praise unto the Lord. Not, amen, offerings of a day or 2 or 3 days. But we need to offer unto the Lord praises on a daily basis. We need to offer unto the Lord, amen, praise that comes. comes from our devotion and our commitment to Him. Amen. And He will give us daily bread. Amen. As we give unto Him, as we present unto Him, amen, our lives, we present ourselves a living sacrifice unto the Lord. He will feed us spiritually. He will strengthen us, and He will allow us, amen, to be equipped for whatever we face in life. He said, "You've offered unto me polluted bread, and you've offered unto me sacrifices that are lame. Instead of offering unto me the best, the choicest, the firstborn, a male without blemish, you have chosen to offer unto me the blind and the crippled and the diseased as an offering upon my altar." Amen. And the Lord said, "Should I accept this at your hand? Should I receive from you, amen, such sacrifices that I have not required of you? I've asked you to give unto me the firstborn. I've asked you to give me a male of the first year without a spot and without a blemish. But you've chosen to give me, amen, the leftovers. You've chosen to give me, amen, what was convenient. You've chosen to give me not the best that you had, but less than the best." Oh, as children of God, as men and women that are admonished to offer sacrifices of praise unto the Lord, amen, He wants nothing less than our very best. He wants us to offer unto Him a sacrifice, amen, amen, that is holy and righteous and pure. Not our leftovers. Amen. Not the leavings. Amen. But to give Him the very best, the choicest, amen, sacrifice. He said, "That is what I would have you to offer, for I am a great God. I am a great King, and my name, amen, is to be praised. My name is to be exalted." Amen. Hallelujah. How can we give unto the Lord anything less than our very best? Can we give Him only what is convenient? How can we offer to the Lord only what requires the least amount of effort? He wants us to give Him everything that we have and the very best that we have. Can you say praise the Lord? The Lord continued to speak through the prophet Malachi, and He said, "And my laws have become burdensome unto you, that my feast days and my Sabbath have become a weariness unto you." You say, "Oh, that the Sabbath were passed where we could sell our merchandise. Oh, that the feast days were passed that we could resume living our lives of vanity and pride, so that we could become as other nations and walk after our own heart and our evil desires, because the ways of the Lord had become a burden to them. It had become a weariness of the flesh unto them." And so they despised the things of God. They despised the holy days. They despised, amen, the giving of thanks. They despised the hearing of the Word of God. They despised the offering up of praise and worship. Why? Because their heart was not in it. It had become nothing more than a ritual and a routine. It had become just going through the motions. Just doing that they had become accustomed to do, and not out of a heart that really desired to worship God. Oh, God forbid that we should ever worship God, amen, reluctantly. Oh, God forbid that we should ever, amen, dread the holy day of coming into the house of God and lifting up our hands in worship. Oh, God forbid that we should ever draw back from wanting to clap our hands and lift our voice in honor to the King of Kings. Amen. We ought be willing to give to God, amen, our first fruits, our very best, amen, that comes out of a willing heart. Amen. The Bible says that the Lord loves a what kind of giver? A cheerful giver. Amen. Worship ought to be a joyful occasion. Amen. It ought not be like a funeral dirge. It ought not be a time that we come with a long face and heavy heart. But we come into the house of God because there's a joy on the inside. Amen. That's something that just wants to cause us to lift up our voice in worship because we love the Lord, because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Oh, one that praises Him. Amen. From the deep of his heart. What we give to God reflects the attitude that we have toward Him. And says a lot about us and what we think about God and our attitude toward the things of God. Amen. God wants us, amen, to give Him, amen, priority in everything. The Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Our time, amen, needs, amen, to revolve around putting God first.
That's right.
Yes. He ought to be our first priority.
That's right.
Amen. How we spend our time, amen, is important to God. Amen. If we are reluctant to give God of our time, amen, it says a lot about our willingness to please God. Amen. Amen. We ought not be stingy with our time. Praise God. If we can give our time to pleasure, if we can give our time, amen, to our own selfish interest, if we can give our time to our career, if we can give our time, amen, to the various and sundry demands of life, amen, we ought to be able and willing to give God, amen, the best that we have, to give unto God, amen, the time that we have. Amen. The Bible says, redeem the time, because the days are evil. Amen. And so how we spend our time is important to God. If we waste time, amen, there's no way of getting it back. I wonder if we did an inventory of how we, each of us, spend our time, whether we would come up short in the eyes of God. If God would say, couldn't you spend just a little bit more time in prayer? How many of you spend way too much time in prayer? I wonder if we inventoried the way we spend our time. Amen. If we could spend a little more time in studying the Word of God. If we could allocate some time, amen, to minister to people who have needs. We could spend a little bit of time thinking about somebody besides ourselves. I wonder how much of our waking time we spend thinking about ourselves. Amen? Think about it. How much time do each of us spend thinking about us? And how much time do we spend thinking about others? And how much time do we spend thinking about God? Oh, amen. When you're in love, I know when you're in love that what you've got on your mind. Amen. How many have ever been in love? L-U-V. When you're in love, there's just one thing on your mind. When you're hungry, there's just one thing on your mind. Oh, hallelujah. When your desire, amen, has been picked toward adventure, there's just one thing on your mind. You can't wait for the adventure to begin. I want you to know, living for God is an adventure. Amen. Living for God is falling in love. Amen. And living for God is hungering and thirsting after the things of the kingdom of God. If we would get passionate about living for God, amen, we would think about God more than we think about ourselves. Wonder how much of our money that we are willing to give to God. From the very earliest times, we see that the men of God, amen, and they set aside a portion of their income, a portion of everything they had. They set it aside to God, in honor to God. You know why? Because God is the source of wealth. Amen. That God is the one that, amen, puts the food on our table and the clothes on our back. Amen. He provides us with the means to provide for others. Amen. And so, as children of God, amen, we are to give God of our time, our money, and our energy. If you spend all of your energy on the frivolous pursuits of life and you don't have anything left when it comes to God, I wonder if He's pleased with that. We just don't have any energy left for You, God. Because we've used it all up. Even I found out I don't have near as much energy now as I used to have. And so it is real important for me to ration my energy. I can't just go and go. You know, it used to be like I was like that little rabbit that just keep going and going and going and going. And it seemed like there was no end to that reservoir strength. But as we get older, amen, we have to start giving a portion. We have to apportion, amen, what we give, amen, to the various things of life. Make sure that God doesn't get left out when it comes, amen, to giving Him of your energy. Amen. The Bible says the true worshiper must worship Him in spirit. Amen. If you don't have any spirit, amen, you're not going to worship God very effectively. Amen. You're going to have some fire shut up in your bones. You're going to have some passion. You're going to have some want to if you're going to serve God. Amen. So give God, amen, what's best. Give God, amen, the first portion. Amen. And give of God in worship. Amen. We should honor God's, amen, because we are His covenant people. Amen. He has chosen us. He said, you did not choose me, but He said, I chose you. Just like Israel, we are a people of a covenant. He had put His law in our heart that we might please Him. So as the covenant people of God, we should honor God because we belong to Him. And we should hope in God. Amen. There are these things that Malachi, amen, admonished the children of Israel. Number one, you've got to love God. Amen. If you're going to offer the Lord a sacrifice of praise, you've got to love God more than you love anything in this world. Amen. Jesus said, if you don't love me more than you love your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, you don't have, amen, that you're not worthy of me. We got to love God. God's got to be our number one, amen, priority. Amen. You've got to love God. Amen. We can, and we can fool people, but we cannot fool God. God knows when we worship Him. God knows when we exalt His name. If we're doing it out of a heart of love, out of a heart of obligation. So we've got to love God, and then we've got to honor God. We've got to reverence God. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If we're going, amen, to please God, we need to honor the Lord. And then we need, amen, to remember that we're His covenant people. And our hope is not in this world, but our hope is in God. Oh, we have a hope that is not of this world. Oh, we've got a hope, amen, that is eternal in the heavens. Amen. Who, if you have the kind of hope that we have, there ought to flow out of your heart and out of your spirit a worship, a praise, amen, that would honor and exalt the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you are going to please the Lord, you've got to be willing to obey God. We worship God because we love Him. We worship God because we honor Him. We worship God because we're His covenant people. We worship God because we have hope. And we worship God because if we love Him, we've got to be willing to obey Him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. Worship is not, amen, something that we do, amen, as a sideline. But worship is what we do because He commanded worship. Amen. We need to be obedient to God. We need to fear the Lord. Fear God. It would have been better for the Jews to have shut the doors of the temple and never to have offered sacrifices on the altar at all if they could not worship God in the holiness and in the righteousness of a pure heart. In fact, God said that their Sabbaths were a stench in His nostrils. Their sacrifices were abhorred. That He despised their worship. What they did, what they called worship, amen, was a disgrace to the name of the Lord. It would have been better to have shut the doors and to never come into the house of God than to worship Him out of insincerity and in the corruption of their heart. Oh God, help us to be holy. God, help us to live righteously. The Bible says that we are to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Why? Because He wants us to ask for a sacrifice. Amen. That's a sweet-smelling aroma. Oh, He said, I'm going to be great in the eyes of the Gentiles. Everywhere they offer incense into my name. Amen. He said, I am going to be exalted. Why? Because they are willing to offer unto me sincere sacrifices of praise. Lord, I want to worship You today. God, I want to worship You, Lord, not in insincerity, but in sincerity and in truth. Oh, I want to offer You more than just the calves of my lips, but I want to offer to You my heart, my whole heart. I want, oh God, to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto You. Would You stand today as we offer to the Lord praise?
falling
worship.
With Jesus.
Can we worship the Lord? And worship. Can we worship the Lord?
Falling in
hallelujah,
love.
Hallelujah, the Spirit of God. Worship the God of heaven and earth. Worship the great
falling
I am. Worship the mighty God. He's great, and He's greatly to be praised. He's worthy today of our worship. He's worthy today. Hallelujah.
Falling in love
with Jesus. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. It's the best thing I've ever done.
Thank you, Lord.
In His arms.
Is exactly that. When you feel like praising, that's not a sacrifice. When your heart is joyful, that's not a sacrifice. When your mind is overwhelmed with excitement and joy, that's not a sacrifice. But the sacrifice of praise is when you don't feel like praising.
All right.
Right.
Amen. When you've got to look up to see the bottom.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And your emotions are in turmoil. Amen. And you don't have an ounce of feeling, it seems like, in your body.
Yeah.
But there's something on the inside that says, I don't praise God by my feelings.
Right.
But I praise God according to His excellent greatness.
Right.
I praise God because He deserves it. Not because I feel it. I praise God because He is God in the good times and in the bad times. And He loves me when I'm up, and He loves me when I'm down, and His eye is always on my way. And He cares, and He keeps, and He leads me, and He guides me, and He blesses me every day. And so I will bless Him, whether I feel like praising or not. Hallelujah. That's a sacrifice of praise. Hallelujah. That's a sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice of praise. It's when you're in a prison cell, and you're locked up, and your back is bleeding from the sting of the whip, and at midnight you lift up your voice and begin to sing praises because God is worthy.
Yes, He is.
Amen. Hallelujah. Sacrifice of praise is what some of you do just to get here. Amen. Praise God. You come through a whole lot just to make your way to the house of God. Amen. But you might as well, since you're here, give Him some praise. You might as well let Him open up the windows of heaven and rain down on your soul blessing and strength and peace and power, hallelujah, from the Holy Ghost. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Have you ever been around anybody that seems like every other word was a cuss word? Isn't that wearisome? You know how you combat that? You just get a mindset that every other word's a praise word.
All right.
Hallelujah. Amen. And you just live under the shadow of the Almighty. And it's always, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Love
yes.
you, Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. It's always just right under the surface. Praise God. Anytime you open your mouth, it's easy for a hallelujah to come out.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good?
Yeah.
Amen. Sacrifice of praise. Help us, Lord, never to let church become common.
Amen.
Because we have an extraordinary God.
Yes.
Amen. He deserves and yea demands extraordinary efforts. What a wonderful Jesus we serve here today. Amen. Praise God. Remember 5:30. We're going to come back here for prayer. And then at 6 o'clock we're going to begin service. And we got baptism tonight.
Youth choir
4:45. Youth choir's at 4:45. Amen. No matter how youthful you are, how old, amen. Youth choir 4:45. Amen. Praise God. Aren't our youth doing a great job in the choir? Amen. Enjoy that. Enjoy their spirit of singing. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God's good.
Yes.
Greet one in the name of the Lord. See you at 5.